This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Now that he has gone, both Israelis and Palestinians, and the friends of both peoples throughout the world, must make even greater efforts to bring about the peaceful realization of the Palestinian right of self-determination.
UN Secretary General Kofi Annan speaking at United Nations Memorial Service for Yasser Arafat on Thursday. Mr. Arafat died in a French hospital at the age of 75. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And three people, a triumvirate, a troika, I guess we would say is the old term, were immediately named to replace Mr. Arafat in the leadership. The former premier, Mahmoud Abbas, is right. The new head of the PLO. Farouk Kaddoumi was appointed to head Fatah. And parliament speaker, Rawi Fatouha, was sworn in as acting chairman of the Palestinian Authority. Now, under Palestinian law, an election has to be held in 60 days to choose a new president. What can we surmise at this point about the future leadership of this movement and this nation?
Oh, I think we can surmise that we're getting into an extremely complicated situation that's been waiting for a long time to happen when Yasser Arafat would be out of the way. What we have among the Palestinians is the so-called old guard, the Arafat people who came with him from Tunisia. And then you have rather militant new guard, Islamists, nationalists, who are now trying to sweep that away and get a more democratic and less corrupt administration among the Palestinians. You may be surprised to hear that another possible candidate for the presidency this today is Marwan Barghouti, who's in an Israeli prison serving a multiple life sentence for terrorism. So, as we've learned in Jordan and Algeria in the past, the fact they're going to have an election is not as necessarily always the answer to everything. Remember that we have had elections in places where extremists then won the elections, and then we had to cope with that.
There has been so much, I think we can fairly say hope, that seems to be pinned on the departure of Yasser Arafat from leadership for a renewal of a peace process in the Middle East. Is any new government that's going to take power over the next 60 days in any quick order going to have the authority, the clout, if you please, to pursue peace processes, which after all involve compromises that some people won't like?
Yeah, well, as you said, authority and clout. Authority, yes, and clout, not necessarily. Now, if Mohammed Abbas emerges as the head of the PLO, fairly moderate person, good chance that he'd go for an early resumption of negotiations based on the so-called roadmap. Mm-hmm. But it may take more than a leader's decision. In the past, you've always needed stimulus from outside, whether it be President Carter at Camp David, President Clinton at Camp David, but it seems to be impossible for them to settle it between them and among them. Somebody, usually the United States, has to come in to take a part.
And, of course, yesterday, President Bush and Prime Minister Blair made a joint appearance in the White House and talked about the prospects for peace in the Middle East. Prime Minister Blair has been outspoken for several years now that he sees the goal of a peaceful settlement between Israel, a two-state solution there, as second only to confronting terrorism. Right. And in fact, he sees it as all tied up and inextricably so with the terrorist issues. I believe he said in an interview in Nightline, I don't think a lot of other states in the area care about the Palestinians, but we know it's an irritant that they're able to exploit. Mm-hmm. He has some stakes in this. What is the sense of urgency you get from the U.S. government about this? Because President Bush talked about a four-year timetable.
Oh, a good deal. President Bush has been rather reluctant to get fully engaged in this, but he clearly owes Tony Blair some big ones. And one of those big ones is that the Prime Minister said the United States has to get involved, perhaps by naming an American mediator, facilitator, perhaps by going for a kind of Madrid-type international conference. At yesterday's news conference with Tony Blair, the president was drawn into saying that his aim was a Palestinian state by the end of his second term. He also promises to make a fence-mending trip to Europe soon after his inauguration, also a favor to Tony Blair, who has been trying to serve as a bridge between him and the European countries. If your question is, would he be doing all of this were it not for Tony Blair and his obligations to Tony Blair, probably not.
Major offensive still underway in Fallujah. The U.S. military reports that 80% of the city is now under the control of U.S. Troops and U.S.-led Iraqi forces. At the same time, they leave open the prospect that some of the insurgent leaders can't be found and may have escaped. How important has Fallujah become as we look into the prospect of January elections in Iraq?
Well, it's become very important. You have to have a minimum amount of security there in order for people to go and vote. And running scared has become an almost literal word in Iraq. Three relatives of the interim Prime Minister Alawi kidnapped, although they had been heavily guarded. And if you don't get that kind of minimum security, how are you going to get people to vote? We're not talking any longer about trying to take over Fallujah. It's now spread very widely to Kirkuk and various other places. This insurrection is by no means over, and how much it has to be over in order to have a decent election, I wouldn't want to say.
Changes coming up to President Bush's cabinet. Commerce Secretary Don Evans announced plan to resign. Education Secretary Rod Page. Attorney General Ashcroft announced his resignation on Tuesday. White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez has been chosen to replace him.
Yeah.
What do we know about Mr. Gonzalez? What might come up in confirmation hearings?
Well, what we know about him mostly is that he's an intensely loyal friend of President Bush and has been way back in Texas. What we also know about him is that as White House counsel, he showed his loyalty. For example, he called the Geneva Conventions on prisoner treatment obsolete, although he also generally approved of affirmative action in his submission to the Supreme Court from the White House. So what we know about him is that he will be standing loyally by President Bush in the first place.
And, of course, Attorney General Ashcroft became a controversial member of the cabinet for a number of Americans. Could I get you to speculate on the legacy he leaves?
It's hardly speculation because the legacy has begun. He has his tendency to treat dissent as though it were treason. He accused civil libertarians of aiding terrorism. He accused federal judges of jeopardizing national security by making decisions on America's obligations under various treaties. His legacy speaks for itself, I guess I'd say.
Now, some of his defenders, I think perhaps not sharing all of that phraseology, would also point out there's been no further terrorist attacks on the soil of the United States.
Yes, and anybody who wants to make something of that is taking an awfully big chance. It is true. It is literally true. There's no important terrorist incident since 9/11. If one wants to go out and boast that the administration has prevented it from happening, so they're taking an awfully big chance. I don't think that we are in a way that we can really read the minds of these people who carry out these things, why they do it in Spain for an election, mm-hmm. but not for an American election and so on. I think we just nod our heads, thank God there hasn't been any, and hope it continues.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.